Members, let's everybody take your seats, please. We don't have a quorum yet, but it would be nice to be able to get going. Where's everybody? One thing I'm going to lay up here for anybody who wishes to look at it, the Historical Society has done, they have a history book, a Minnesota history book. So I thought I'd, and they left me a copy yesterday, so I thought I'd lay it here, or we can pass it around. It's I think it's very interesting, and you just might want to take a look at that. I think some of the schools are using the version from 10 years ago, and this is their latest version. All right, the only agenda item today is the standards. Pardon? So, and that is House File 2558, which is my bill. And I'm going to ask, Representative Olson is not here. Representative Johnson, would you please come up here?
Oh, Mark is here.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Dismas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as Representative Sikora goes to the chair, I thank you for your indulgence. Some of you, today we're going to have a lot of discussion and a lot of debate and probably quite a bit of disagreement. I'd like to just start off today's meeting on a good note, on a subject that we could probably all agree to. Some of you may be noticing why I look so spiffy today. Typically I'm underdressed and kind of look like a bum, but today I'm all dressed up. I think we can all agree that today begins three of the finest days out of the calendar year when it comes to Minnesota high school sports. Today begins the high school wrestling tournament at the XL, and I would encourage anyone who has an opportunity, if you haven't watched high school wrestling at its very best, it's one of the most exciting. I challenge anyone to watch a wrestling match and not get your muscles all tensed up as you're watching the young men out on the mat. If you have a chance to go, it is an absolutely fabulous experience. Scott West, which is a combination school of Jordan and Belle Plaine, are in the tournament and wrestle at 2:45 today. Excellent time, and I think we can all agree that on at least this issue, that the three finest days in high school sports begin today at the XL. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Besides Scott West, there will be Malacca High School there, and they are very good. And I also have individuals wrestling from Piers and Foley, so
right,
they're also a hotbed
well,
of high school wrestling.
Representative Demmer. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hayfield also has three wrestlers in the state tournament, and the wrestling state tournament is a great warm-up for girls and boys basketball.
Mr. Chairman, Scott West.
I got this get out of control, Representative Erdahl.
Scott West will be wrestling the Litchfield today.
All right.
And Atwater Cosmos Grove City at 10:15 also.
Thank you. Anyone else need to get in a plug at Wardlow?
Two comments. Number one, you don't play wrestling. And number two, I have a suite ticket for the tournament today, which I'll sell you for.
All right. I believe we do not have a quorum yet, so maybe Representative Sikora, if you have some opening comments, and you can move your bill once we have, I think, one more member.
You mean you want somebody to miss my brilliant opening comments? All right, well, why don't I postpone walking through the bill until later, but this is 2558. This is the bill that essentially refers to the standards document and puts it into place in pretty much the same way that we did the standards for language arts and math last year. But let me just make a few remarks about the social studies and science standards. I think we've spent a great deal of time on this. You all know that there were many, many hearings around the state talking about the standards. We got input from countless people. I have probably a file of emails that big from people. I've managed to read most of them except the last two or three days. I just haven't had a chance to read. So I've read a lot of comments from a lot of people. So I think we probably all have some pretty good ideas as to what's in these standards and as to what we would like to see maybe different. The science document is the original document as developed by the committee. There were never any changes made to that document. So it's unchanged from the original. There were no complaints about this from, in my email, relatively no complaints about cost of implementing these standards. And there were just a few emails and calls on the science standards over the last few weeks. Science is defined as the observation, identification, description, experimental investigation, and theoretical explanation of natural phenomena. Knowledge gained through experience. Social studies, on the other hand, is just described as a course of study including geography, history, government, and sociology. History is where I think it gets a little dicey. History is defined as a narrative of events, a chronological record of a life or development of a people or an institution, often including an explanation of or commentary on those events. The branch of knowledge that records and analyzes past events. I think that definition explains why developing and agreeing on social studies standards becomes so difficult. It's why I have so many calls and letters and emails. We've all read news accounts of an event and thought, huh, I was there and that isn't the way I remember it. Or that isn't what I thought was said. That isn't what I thought was happened. Or you read some members, you read something in the newspaper where you are quoted and you don't think you exactly said that. Or it's out of context. I mean, I think that's a lot of what happens with history. We each have our concept, our own concept of the past, depending upon our memories, our perceptions of its of recent history, or accounts of more ancient history, on ancient events, that also depended really upon the eyes of the beholder of whatever commentary you have read. Therefore, I've come to the conclusion nobody ever will be completely satisfied with any social studies standards, because our opinions are all colored by what we think the world should be, what the world ought to be according to each of us. However, although we'll never have total agreement, I think the standards that have been developed over the last many months with input from, I think, just about everybody in half the world in Minnesota, I think they're pretty good. And the more I read them, the more I believe that they're good. We really want our students to understand something about our world, how we got to where we are today, how it started and how it developed, and especially about our own country. Why did people come here in the first place? Who was here before us? How did we develop the kind of system of government that we have today? What is it that makes us unique in the world? I think those are the kinds of things we want to make sure that our students understand so they can appreciate what we have as a free nation, which is not available to many countries in the world. We have been a model, I think, for many nations. In any case, now if you look at what happened between the first draft and the second draft, there were huge changes between those two drafts. The first draft of social studies contained 233 standards. The second one had 211. The first draft of benchmarks had 850, essentially, and now there are 540, or a 36% reduction. Science standards went from 127 to 100, and science benchmarks went from 459 to 300. So, in many ways, the concerns that people had that these were too tough, that they were too complicated, that there were too many benchmarks, too many standards, were addressed in many ways, and by a variety of reductions, still trying to maintain what was really important to the document. And the changes between draft 2 and draft 3 were quite minor. We had discovered some historical inaccuracies. We had discovered a lot of word problems or just very small technical things that needed to be changed. And we also had responded in the third draft to some of the comments by people that some of the benchmarks or standards in a particular grade level might have been a little inappropriate or too difficult for that grade level, and we responded to some of that in the third draft. But essentially, the essence of the document in the third draft did not change. Mr. Chairman, would you like us to discuss the bill at this point?
Sure.
Representative,
we do have a quorum now, so you may want to move your bill and then proceed as you'd like with the bill.
I would like to move that House File 2558 be recommended to pass and sent to Government Ops.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
I've received
no question. Mr. Chairman, I understand that a fiscal note has been requested on this bill but has not yet been provided by the State Department of Finance. What's the procedure here for considering a bill that doesn't yet have its fiscal note?
Representative Sikora?
Representative Latz, this will go to Government Ops and then it will go to Education Finance. I'm sure by then we will have a fiscal note. I mean, it will go to the floor, but Education Finance will probably look at it also.
Representative Latz?
And in any case, we did not have a fiscal note last year when we did standards, and I don't believe a fiscal note is even required on this one. Who requested the fiscal note? I didn't request a fiscal note on this bill.
Representative Latz?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sikora, it's the local fiscal impact note, which was not available under statute last year but is now. So it has been requested, I understand, by the appropriate representatives under the statute. I think the lead Democrat on the tax committee, I think, is one person identified in the statute to request that fiscal note.
Surprised.
This will have a fiscal impact on local school districts, so I think it's appropriate for that to be considered as we handle this bill.
Thank you, Representative Latz.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
I just want to share in Representative Latz's concern. The Edina Public Schools have indicated a cost of implementation of the social studies standards alone of $1.6 million. And I don't see any, in looking at House File 2558, I don't see any funding coming from the state for that $1.6 million. Minneapolis is looking at $1.75 million, and both of those are just for implementing the K-8 portion of the standards, not even the 9-12. So this bill is a significant financial burden on Minnesota school districts at a time when we are not, according to the bill, providing them with any additional funding to implement these standards.
Representative Sikora, would you like to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Last year, this was raised also as an issue when we did the language arts and the math standards. And at that time, the commissioner said there was money available, federal dollars available, that were going to be used to help to educate people in how to implement the standards. I believe that is available again for the science standards, which would be next summer. Over next summer, they would be doing that. And then the social studies in this bill, the social studies is delayed implementation for a year. So then there would be the same process taking place for social studies in a year. And at that time, there was no additional funds required. And I think there's enough flexibility in these standards that districts will not have to spend a lot of money to make their changes.
Okay, Representative Sikora, we do have four or five amendments, but if you'd would you like to walk through the bill first?
Right, the bill is really very simple. It sets up rulemaking by the department on these standards and has them set aside. I'm looking for my bill here. That it sets up science to be implemented in the next school year. Social studies has a delay of a year before implementation. And you can see that in the bill on page 1. So page 1, lines 20 to 24 describe when these standards would be implemented. Language arts, as you can see, mathematics and fine arts were implemented in this past year. Then the commissioner would be asked to adopt in rule the science and social studies standards that we are passing today. But of course, these would be passed today, and deposited with, as you see in the back of the bill, they're deposited with the Minnesota Reviser of Statutes, the Legislative Reference Library, and Minnesota State Law Library, where they are maintained, and that is also where we maintain the language arts and math, because remember, there's a cycle of every 4 years. These can be reviewed, and you know, some changes or corrections, etc., made to these. Then, of course, you know, this bill would go to the floor, hopefully be passed off the floor, sent over to the Senate, and you know the process from there. But the idea is that these would be done by rule. They would never be completely in statute. The only part that will be in statute is the reference to the rules and the standards.
Okay.
Pretty simple bill. I think the main discussion will be on the standards themselves.
All right, members, we have, I believe, 4 or 5 amendments here, and I think we'll move to those. And I'd like to take up A9 first, because it purports to be more of a technical than a substantive amendment. H2558A9, which I believe is Representative Mariani's amendment. Is that right, Representative Mariani?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. I would move that amendment.
All right.
Mr. Chair, this comes from the Minnesota Historical Society. Evidently, they've been in communication with the commissioner, and it's really kind of basically a technical amendment, just reflecting better accuracy about the movement of certain European immigrant groups into the state. There was a wrong reference about the time frame in the language we have before us. I think probably the one that was kind of the one that stuck out the most was the, you know, identifying certain European immigrant groups in the early 1800s, and of course there weren't a whole lot of Europeans here in the early 1800s. So it's basically a technical amendment, and the Historical Society and the Department of Education evidently worked this language out.
Mr. Chairman, apparently the Historical Society had a lot of influence on the Minnesota history standards, and so they did discover that they had made a couple of errors and in their recommendations and suggested this change.
Okay. Any discussion on this amendment? All right, seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes. All right, we will take them from here out in numerical order. I have Amendment H2558A3. And whose is this?
That's my amendment. I'm not going to offer that amendment at this
point. Okay. Thank you, Representative Mariani. The A6 amendment, whose is that?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Latz.
This is my amendment, members. This amendment, I guess that's the first thing.
Representative Latz moves the H2558A6 amendment. Representative Latz.
Mr. Chair, this amendment addresses the fact that schools, local school districts, will in fact incur expense in implementing whatever social studies and science standards are ultimately passed and determined by the state to require them to do. The school district in St. Louis Park, which I represent, estimates that it will cost them about $300,000 to both purchase a new curriculum for the social studies standards and new textbooks, if they can find any, and revising outcomes and working on comm assessments with the teachers. They estimate about $63 per student as their expense, which they state are fairly conservative compared to the recent textbooks that they have had to purchase. That's a substantial impact on what we all know are very tight budgets in our local school districts. Accordingly, what my amendment would do would delay the implementation of the appropriate standards until such time as the Commissioner of Finance under the local fiscal impact note statute has determined what those impacts would be, and until such time as the state fully funds those changes so that it does not become another unfunded mandate on our local school districts, which would have the effect of costing teachers and other direct educational expenses. It's got to come out of somewhere, and I don't think it ought to come out of already seriously stressed budgets in the local school districts. So I'd ask for your support for this. Give us an opportunity to make sure at least that we know what it might cost our local school districts, and whatever it will cost, we can find the money in the state budget so we don't further stress our local school districts. And I'd like to ask for a roll call on this as well.
Roll call has been requested. Representative Sikora, before we go to our list, did you have any comments?
I think I responded, but I would ask Assistant Commissioner Nelson to maybe reiterate, make sure that I wasn't mistaken in the fact that there is money. And also, by the way, science is the only one that is going to be implemented in the rest of this biennium. And if there is a big cost to social studies, that's something that can be looked at in the next biennium, when maybe we'll have some money.
Ms. Nelson?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Representative Sikora was accurate in her depiction of how dollars were allocated for the standards that were already developed and approved by this legislature. And as she said, the social studies would not take effect until not next year, but a year from then. I might add, in deference to Representative's comments about tight school district budgets, every school district has planned, as part of their regular spending, a curriculum cycle. And as part of that curriculum cycle, it is commonly known that the four core areas, social studies being one, requires a larger share of funding. So as part of their regular operating funding, of their regular operating budget, there is dollars set aside by school districts. Now, whether or not their cycle exactly matches is up for question, but I do believe, having been a superintendent myself, that that reallocation can occur, and I trust teachers will want to do so. Back to the commentary, though, about the department, we are putting all of our resources behind trying to support particularly social studies. We will have summer institute funding available. We have staff available to do some instruction for teachers over the summer. We are allocating Title II dollars. We have something called a quality teaching network and a network for student success. These are specialists who go out in the department and the network to help teachers across the state in 50 meetings, and they are well-versed in the social studies standards. In fact, the standards come out of their same division's work with the teachers. And then the Quality Teacher Network are teacher experts and higher ed experts who advise, and we do have a Quality Teaching Network for Social Studies that advises Charlie Skemp. And so that assistance will be available to teachers across the state. In addition, our commissioner is very aggressive about looking for grants. We have made a grant request that's fairly sizable in cooperation with the Minnesota Historical Society so that we can indeed develop specific workshops for teachers to develop the social studies standards. So I believe that's a tremendous amount of support to supplement what is already in school district budgets.
Thank you, Ms. Nelson. I have Representatives Demmer, Erdahl, and Greiling on my list. To start, Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jan, a comment I was going to make also, in addition to the resources that that the Commissioner and her department has been talking about, I think there's also significant savings from not having some things in the profile, if I'm not mistaken. I remember school districts having significant staff development time being put into the profiles, and when we took the profiles away, I think that was a significant savings to the districts. And I think any discussion of costs to implement have to include the savings that we had from not having the profiles also.
Representative Sikora.
I would like to add that, you know, within these standards, there's a lot of flexibility. If you notice, between K-3, there are certain standards that children should have by the end of third grade. But school districts within their curriculum have all that flexibility within kindergarten and third grade. The same thing happens with fourth through sixth grade and so on. So there's enough flexibility here, I think, that adapts to a whole variety of school districts and where they might be currently teaching a certain topic.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just echoing Dr. Nelson's comments regarding the ordering of books and the cycles that they go through, I think that if social studies was not the in the cycle for ordering, they would just switch them around. That's how they do that. And I don't think that the ordering would be a problem in terms of money, because I think the money is there. It's just a matter of switching the cycle.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think that all the comments that have just been made should enable everyone on this committee to vote for this amendment. It doesn't appropriate money unless it's needed. So if we have these aggressive grants, and if we have local units of school districts being able to rearrange things, or this fits into their normal cycle or not too far out, then we have nothing to worry about. This just asks us to look at what those costs are and fund them if there are any. So if we're so trusting that there aren't any or they can be assimilated, we should all be able to vote for this amendment.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I would mainly reinforce the comments that Representative Greiling just made. You know, I've been hearing from school districts that they're expressing a lot of concern about the costs. And if what the commissioner has described is accurate, then the amendment is really quite harmless. But if, in fact, what we're hearing from school districts is, in fact, the case, that they may incur costs that are not covered by the federal dollars, and what may already may be in their base, then this amendment becomes very important. And so I would encourage a yes vote for the amendment.
Any further discussion on this amendment? All right. Representative.
I was going to say, Mr. Chairman, I don't think this is a necessary amendment at all.
All right. I don't see any further discussion, so the committee legislative assistant will take the roll on amendment H2558A6.
Representative Sikora?
No.
Representative Olson? No. No. Mark, sorry. Carlson?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bernardi?
Yes.
Biernat?
Yes.
Burrell?
No.
Biskins?
No.
Dabney?
Yes.
Demmer?
No.
Eastland?
No.
Eakin?
Yes.
Erickson?
No.
Greiling?
Yes.
Heikergen?
No.
Yaros?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Klinding?
No.
Krinke? Blatt?
Aye.
Mariani?
Aye.
Meslow? Nelson? No. Newman?
No.
Olson S?
No.
Pulowski?
Yes.
Segrin? Seifert?
No.
Slawik? Erdahl?
No.
Wardlow?
No.
Zellers?
There are 11 ayes and 15 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Next, and it appears last amendment, is the A14 amendment. Is that Representative Dabney?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I brought along some amendments that I could have offered today to correct factual errors and political bias in these standards. The commissioner appears to believe that President Kennedy was assassinated in 1968. I disagree. She appears to believe that the Cuban Missile Crisis also happened after 1968. Again, I disagree. The standards seem to imply that West Africans in the early to mid-1800s in this country were immigrants of the same status as German and Irish immigrants. I think that's an offensive implication, and I disagree with that. And the problems with the proposed social studies standards are simply too great to tweak and to change here amendment by amendment. Instead, the A14 amendment creates an educational process a non-political process for the creation of new social studies standards. And let me take just a couple of minutes and walk through the amendment for people.
Representative Dabbling, would you like to move the amendment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A14 amendment.
Okay.
It sets up a process for the creation of rigorous K-12 social studies standards. It puts the public and public accountability into the development process with representatives from the School Boards Association, MREA, Education Minnesota, MASA, the Parent Teacher Association, for their expertise, representatives from the University of Minnesota, MNSCU, and the Private College Council, as well as three members of the public, appointed by the Speaker, and three members by the Majority Leader of the Senate, to ensure broad public participation. It asks that this commission take information from people with expertise in curriculum, Minnesota's diverse cultural communities, the business community, and so on. It provides as an example of a group that could house and support and facilitate this process the Minnesota Humanities Commission. I use them merely as an example. I've not been in conversation with the Humanities Commission about their capacity. I use them as an example instead because they are a group in Minnesota that has both credibility and respect statewide and nationally for their high-quality social studies content training of people. And it's a group that would take this out of the political process where it's been and instead infuse it with educational goals. And it sets a timeline for the creation of these new standards and reinforces the repeal of the profile of learning legislation, which set forward criteria that the new standards had to be academic and not behavioral, another place where these proposed standards fail, that they need to be respectful of local district autonomy and the like. There's a number of problems that are too great and too pervasive with these social studies standards. Representative Latz already did a good job of going to the cost of these standards on local school districts. There's a problem with the coverage. Instead of the three R's, we've got the three C's. Coverage is a significant problem. These are simply too broad and too shallow for many school districts to be able to realistically implement, and they squeeze out the creativity that we want our teachers to bring to the classroom. The content is a significant problem, and you don't have to listen to me. Eric Martel, who's one of the national reviewers that the commissioner asked to review the document, said this: the government and citizenship draft standards are embarrassing, poorly written, misinformed, and factually motivated. They should be discarded and replaced. The Department of Education should find writers who understand the historical role and meaning of the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and how it evolved over time. This section of the draft social studies standards were more and more shocking as I read on. They are an ideological and behavioral document just like the profiles of learning. We rejected the profile of learning for many of those reasons. We should reject these as well. And lastly, this is a curriculum that's imposed from the top down and violates Minnesota's tradition and the repeal of the profile bill that requires instead respect for local autonomy and local control by school districts. For those reasons, I ask members to join me in making sure that we have in this state high-quality, rigorous academic standards that are developed not with political goals in mind, but instead with educational goals in mind. Mr. Chair, I'd ask for a roll call vote on the A14 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. A roll call has been requested. Representative Segrin, do you have Sikora, do you have a response?
Yes. The last comment that these were developed top-down is absolutely almost funny, because if you look at the profile of learning, the legislature had no involvement with the profile of learning. It was all the department, and it was top down. Now, if you want to talk about bottom up, look at this process. They had a committee that worked on standards for a long time. You had hearings all around the state with hundreds of people showing up to hearings. Then we had hearings here and took testimony. There was testimony all over the state. To say that these are top-down is ridiculous. These were developed from the bottom up with all sorts of groups involved. And if you say it's political, I think when you get a lot of people involved and a lot of groups involved, yes, it's going to be political. There's not very much in life that doesn't get somewhat political, depending on your definition of politics. But these are bottom-up standards. These are things that people felt were very important for their children to understand and know. And I think these are good standards. And to suggest that the profile was better is unbelievable, considering we had 6 years here of nothing but complaints about this horrible profile. And, you know, how difficult it was to implement, how much record keeping it required, all the learning packets, all the little group projects that had to be done that maybe one person did and everybody got credit for. I'm sorry, but I just think the difference between the old profile and these standards is huge.
To the A14 amendment, we have six members to address concerns. Representative Seifert.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to address what Representative Davenny started out with, which I don't want to say that it's a blatant lie, but I would like to have you point out to me specifically in the standards or a statement the commissioner has made where John Kennedy was assassinated in 1968 versus 63, and we'll fix that if that's in there. And I look on page 42 where it's under the example column, it's number 5, the Kennedy assassination. You go over to the column on the left. Student will identify and describe major and cultural political changes occurred during the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Now, my recollection is that the assassination was November 22nd of 1963. Kennedy presidency was January 20th of 61 to November 22nd of 63. The Bay of Pigs, which is, or whichever one that you had referenced in the other portion, or the Cuban Missile Crisis, is an example too, which is also under the section 50, 60, 70s. So I will yield to my friend if he can please explain his comment about, which I thought was either a big misunderstanding at its best, or a big political lie at its worst. And so please tell the committee and the public here where it specifically states that that's wrong, and we'll fix it in the standards, because I think that's a pretty strong statement to make without having some concrete evidence.
Representative Dabney.
42.
Representative Seifert, thank you. My apologies. I had misread the document on the assassination of President Kennedy, but if you look down to the, still on page 42, U.S. History, Contemporary America, 1968 to present, if you go to the last column, Nixon and Khrushchev debates, Cuban Missile Crisis. I still hold that the Cuban Missile Crisis was in 1963, not 1968 to present. So I was in error on President Kennedy's assassination. I apologize for that, but I think I'm still right on the Cuban Missile Crisis. And this, to a broader point, Representative Seifert, we can nitpick and we can argue over detail X and detail Y. Mr. Martel speaks more broadly to the political bias and factual errors, and I think they simply go too deep to pick and choose and tweak and try to fix this document. It needs to be redone with public accountability. It needs to be done with expertise that looks not just at the political implications, but the pedagogical concerns and the historical accuracy of the document.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, to that point, Representative Davenny, what the example under one states is Nixon and Khrushchev debates, Cuban Missile Crisis, if you look at what it's referenced to, under the fourth column over, students will know and describe the political and economic policies that contributed to the collapse of communism and the end of the Cold War. That doesn't mean the Nixon and Khrushchev debates didn't take place in the late 50s when Nixon was vice president and Khrushchev was premier, nor does it mean that the Cuban Missile Crisis took place after 1968. What it's stating is those examples under that column are examples that contributed to the fall of communism, the collapse of communism and the end of the Cold War. It doesn't mean that those events took place after 1968. I think that's one reason that we had the groups meet and meet and meet and take input, is because they understand that those items are examples that contribute to the first columns. They don't mean that those things took place after 1968. They mean that those are pieces of history that eventually led to the fall of communism and the end of the Cold War. The engagement of the debate of free market versus communism and the stand that Kennedy took against the USSR during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I guess I just want to remind all members of this committee as we have this dialogue and this discussion, all right, that there was a lot of good, decent citizens of the state of Minnesota who participated voluntarily in the development of these standards. I hope we keep the rhetoric down. I believe that they honestly tried to do their best in development of this document, and I think we should ought to be careful about the statements we make so that we are not characterizing the citizens that worked on this with good intentions, trying to develop a product that would lead to the very best education for our children.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm also going to speak against the amendment from Representative Dabney. I think to say that this is a political process is pretty much a slander to the teachers and the administrators that were on this committee that worked on this. We had 43%, over 36 of the members were classroom teachers from around the state. K-12 administrators were 6 of the members, 13 of the members from higher education. I think to characterize them as overly political is probably a slap in the face to those folks. Also to say that this was not driven by people out in the communities. There were 14 public meetings held, according to the information we have here. Over 2,000 people attended, 450-some-odd people testified, and I attended a couple of those myself and saw people, and there was no squelching of anybody that had anything to say at those things. We had almost 1,300 comments received over the website that the commissioner's office took and the department took to take into consideration. So I think to think that, Representative Dabney or anybody else can come up with has more clairvoyance than the people that were on this committee, there would be no end to the committees and the number of people that could be put together, and there would be no end to the possibilities that we would have in these standards. And I think it's a real slap in the face to these teachers and administrators and higher ed people and community members that were on this committee to say that this is all a sham and that they didn't put good hard effort into it. And it's also a slam to our commissioner and to the department. Quite frankly, to the people who attended these committee meetings during the summertime or these public hearings during the summertime to come and give their testimony and give their opinions about that. A lot of that was taken into consideration, put into these. I think it's time we move ahead. We have built into the standards to review them on an ongoing basis. Perfection will not be something we'll continue to try to strive for perfection in our standards and in the things that we do. If we ever think we're at perfection, I think it's time for us to move on and let somebody else take over this place, because we will continually strive for that as our standards get higher and higher. So I would suggest we vote this down and move on.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Alston, and I too want to speak against the amendment and ask Representative Dabney if at any time you submitted comments to the commissioner about concerns that you had, whether they were technical or substantive.
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson. I did have printed in the Minneapolis Star Tribune an op-ed piece raising concerns about the first draft.
Mr. Chair, did you submit Representative Dabney
Erickson.
To the commissioner?
Representative Erickson. The commissioner withheld, the department withheld the comments of national reviewers who were asked provide documentation.
Representative Dabney, did you submit?
Representative Erickson, let's let Representative Dabney finish.
But I want him to answer my question.
I understand that, but let's let him finish and make sure he doesn't answer it before. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, the department withheld comments of national reviewers who the department asked to review the document. The department never gave to members of the writing committee the comments that were submitted by the public on the public website. The department never developed a document detailing the comments from the public meetings. the many, many critical comments that were provided by members of the public. I did not formally submit comments because I relied on the overwhelming public opposition to these, to do that, and my work here at the legislature, as well as the information that I provided to the public through my op-ed piece in the Star Tribune.
Mr. Chair, Representative Daphne,
thank you.
You did not. And, you know, I think that as a teacher, you would want to do that. When we were reviewing the language arts standards as a former high school English teacher, I certainly felt that I needed to submit my comments to the commissioner, which I did. And I don't know, can Assistant Commissioner Nelson tell us whether or not this never and many that Representative Dabney uses in his remarks is true? Can we have a statement from the Assistant Commissioner? Because I think that's really going a long way.
Commissioner Nelson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just might say I've spent my career in Minnesota, and I was saying to Representative Sikora, I have never witnessed such a broad, inclusive process for a curriculum development. There were literally citizens across the state, teachers across school districts who were asked in hearings, the commissioner personally attending those to give feedback. These were posted on the web. Being a first-time observer of this, I was amazed at the level to which feedback was invited, commentary was posted, the level of outreach to the critics, critical reviewers, and those made available on the web. They were at every stage made available, even though the representative would have liked some of those to be done sooner. I'm told that there was, with at least one reviewer, some changes that seemed to be more regular, and there was concern that we get the full document posted. I witnessed at the department a real commitment by the staff who worked on this to make sure what we had was shared. We literally had people in the committee meetings with the teachers wanting copies of documents before they were even documents. We even were saying, well, if there's something on a post-it board, you're welcome. We had this huge push to share, to make things available. I have to say I've never witnessed such an open process to try to welcome commentary in, and I must say it was listened to.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for cutting off Representative Erickson. I thought that was unprecedented that she just gets to berate one member of this committee who's speaking, which is, you know, unprecedented as well. My main point for these standards is that they're not finished. You know, I think there's way too much defensiveness on this committee trying to point to this broad-based process that just plain is not done. Why, when we are not required to have social studies standards, we are rushing to judgment when we're not done? Yes, we've asked for lots of input, and for members, most of whom in this committee weren't here for the profiles, there were hearings all around the state for those too. And that alone did not make them satisfactory with folks, and most of you here would agree with that. So just the fact that we had hearings, we had a lot of input, doesn't mean that we ended up with a good product with these standards that we have before us. And they're not done, and we don't have to rush to it. Let's take some more time. When we ask for national experts and we go ahead and get the kind of input from them that Representative Dabney read with strong statements that Representative Seifert, I believe, if I heard correctly, didn't say that what we have, that the standards are worse than the profile. I think that the statement he read said they're just as bad. And so someone like you, who had such a fuss about the profile, now want to send these off to our school districts half-baked. I'm very surprised at that. I think all we're asking for here is a chance to step back and make sure that what we have for our students is well thought out, And we don't have to rush through this. I'm just amazed at this unprecedented rush to judgment with something with which we have no deadline. Last year, with many bills, for those of you who are first-termers, you noticed that Representative Smith's bill on child support was, I thought it was done. I was ready to vote for it, but a lot of people were not, and so we stepped back, and now we're taking another look at it, trying to work it out. That's the legislative process. When we're asking school districts to change curriculum, you know, the textbooks they just bought last year don't work. We're not giving them a penny to buy new ones, but yet we're going to send this out because we think we're done, because we've listened to a lot of people, whether we have taken that into account or not. I don't think it's good enough. And I just, I'd be ashamed if we decided to pass this now just because we've had a certain amount of input, much of which we haven't taken into account. And this, my major other objection to this is it's a statewide curriculum, and the law last year specifically said that we should not have a statewide curriculum. This is that and then some. And so I believe that alone, we have a lot of people, even here today with amendments, that want things included in the social studies standards, but yet most of us would also agree there's too much here. So I think we're really not done. We have to prioritize some more, cut a lot of it out, decide what's missing that we still want in, and then we can work on it next year. I don't think anyone's saying we don't want social studies standards. People like me want world language standards, and some of you think that would be too much. The editorial in the Tribune today asked for health and phy-ed standards. So I don't think anyone here is objecting to standards. It's that these standards are not done. Let's take more time and vote for the Daphne Amendment, which gives us a process that involves, I think, a broader-based group and a more informed group in the main than what we had with the group before. I don't mean to slander anyone who was on it. They just were a product of who they were picked by and how they came together. But I think they didn't have enough time, and they didn't have enough broad-based expertise on the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sikora.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if anybody remembers, but last year we passed a bill out of here unanimously that called for science and social studies standards. It passed the floor unanimously, and that was also part of the final bill that was signed by the governor. We called for science and social studies standards. This isn't something that we decided today or yesterday that we should do. This is something that was decided, those four core areas, and we added fine arts in conference committee last year.
Representative Grimey.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Representative Sikora, you're totally missing my point. I'm saying that here we all agree we want social studies standards, but these are not done, and we should wait and pass more well-thought-out ones at next year or whenever we have them done. I'm not arguing that. I voted to have social studies standards as you did, but I do not agree with you and the others here that these are finished.
Representative Seifert, to this point.
Well, Mr. Chair, my name was brought up about, I don't know, everybody's quoting me. When did I say that these were as bad as the profile? I don't remember. I mean, I criticized No Child Left Behind. That's a whole different animal than the standards. You know, we fixed some of the problems. There were some grammatical problems, historical problems, whatever. You know, Representative Daphne had his comments about things. We proved that was wrong twice. If we've seen this document now for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, give us the specifics. I mean, Representative Daphne had a couple examples that were wrong. We clarified what the situation was. So what other, if it's too big, what's too big? If it's too small, what's too small? If there's something in here that's wrong, tell me what's wrong. And I think that's the point everyone's missing here. We've had weeks to look at this, if not months to look at the base document. Here we are. Let's fix the problem if there's a problem with this. I think what we're just trying to do is kick the football and punt and try to figure out something next year potentially. That's not the way we're going to do things. And we're not forcing this down people's throats. It's been a nice open process, in my opinion, more open than the profile by far, and it's not scheduled for implementation this year. There's going to be time. We have staff development funds and all the other monies that that are available. So, you know, if you want to start whacking names and dates and whatever, let's go at it. Or if you want to do it on the floor, fine. but we keep hearing these broad-based statements, but we don't hear any specifics, and the specifics that you gave were wrong. So let's hear some details.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I originally wasn't going to comment on the debate about openness, but I do have to comment as a result of Dr. Nelson's comments about openness. And I don't know if you were present, Dr. Nelson, but a few days ago, I had to raise the point that our caucus made a request for changes that everybody knew that were being made for the standards, and we were denied that opportunity. When I raised that question with the commissioner, to her credit, she apologized for that. But the point is that the information was not available. The process has not been as open as you described. And I think that that has to be a part of this record so that people understand that, yes, there may have been hearings around the state, but as a decision-making body, when we were denied that opportunity, and in my entire tenure in the legislature, when I made requests to the department, that was the first time that that ever happened.
That is a joke.
And I would hope that you tone down, if you will, your comments about openness after an event like that took place.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, I was in the room the day that you said that the caucus had been denied, and I listened with great attention because, as I understood it, sir, the standards had been delivered from the commissioner to the legislature. My understanding is you were concerned about not getting the document prior to the hearing. It was not the role of the department, as we understood, once the standards were delivered to the legislature, we wanted to be very careful. So it was not the commissioner's role to make those changes, and I'm understanding Chair Sikora did make copies available to both sides and had that done, I believe, on Monday prior to that Tuesday hearing, sir.
Yes.
So my understanding is that, I'm sorry for the misunderstanding, but once we delivered them to the legislature, we no longer were making copies for either side of the legislature.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, we need not go over every bit of the detail, but what we were told was that you didn't even have a copy, and I quite frankly don't believe that.
Representative Carlson.
But that's what we were told. Now, I did give credit to Representative Sikora at the time for providing us the following Monday with that information, but that information should have come from the department per our request.
Representative Sikora.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, I think you're questioning my veracity here, and I am somewhat offended by that. I did not have a copy of the document till Monday morning. I did not have it on Friday. I didn't have it on Sunday. I had it on Monday morning. We immediately sent it down, made some copies, and made it available for everybody. But all that was in that document were the things that we had addressed here when we had had our final hearing on this bill. The things that we'd addressed, the little changes that had been discussed here, and then some that you emailed into, I believe, Ms. Bowie, following that were little tiny changes that needed to be made to correct the document and make it better. And that is all that there was.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carlson.
I have the other day, and again here this morning, Madam Chair, complimented you for providing us with the information when you had it. My comments are directed at the department. And I also pointed out that apparently the commissioner felt after the fact that there was some validity to our comments because she apologized at the time. My point here this morning is that the process from the department perspective, not you, the department, was not as open as the assistant commissioner just testified here this morning. And one major event, when you're the ranking minority member of this committee and the former chair, and you can't even get information from the department, means that it is not a very open process, period.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sikora.
I wanted that document on Friday. I didn't get it. I came over here Friday afternoon in the hopes that it was finished. I talked to the commissioner on the weekend. It was still being finished. It was not ready. So, therefore, I didn't have it, and it wasn't finished is why I didn't have it. I don't think we need to go over this same ground again. I think we've plowed it about two other times, and I think this is just an absolute waste of more time.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to talk this morning how open the process was. Others did, and I'm just telling you that it was not as open as it was described by the Assistant Commissioner a few moments ago. I think we all better get back on the amendment.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Representative Clancy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Been some, I think, statements made here that I would like to give a different reaction to, such as the one about the profiles. Well, none of us were here, so how could we understand? I was in the trenches trying to help implement the profiles as they were going through, and I have a nice master's thesis you can read if you want to sit down and read 200 pages of it. And all what it does is document about how we changed and changed and changed and changed the profiles for 10 years, and people were never happy. We're never going to get every single person on board. The main thing that I heard as we tried to implement those changes, and it's documented, heard this from the social studies teachers, more content, please, please be more content specific. We want tests to evaluate performance in the social studies, please. And this was much to the chagrin of the department at the time the profiles were being implemented. These were comments, public comments from the trenches that I think have been well addressed in the new document. And I think it came forward very clearly when overwhelming, which I have to kind of wonder how overwhelming that opposition is when I've gotten very few comments in opposition to these. Certainly there's a few, but not an overwhelming amount flooding my emails, my phone calls, or even people grabbing me in the hall. But I questioned one of those people who was in opposition to these standards in the hearings. He's an AP American History teacher, vehemently opposed to these standards. When I asked him which one of these standards does he not teach in his AP American History class, he testified he teaches all of these. Which leads me to, which I then asked, then, why can't we teach all of those to all the rest of the kids? Why are those just for AP students? And the response was, there's too much here. Well, if these standards can pass the litmus test for national, I mean, if not these standards, but I mean, these standards here are taught in an AP class, which passes the litmus, national litmus test for being acceptable social studies content, why can't they be acceptable in our state? And why is it they're only acceptable, at least in the opposition's mind, for being taught in an AP class and not for the rest of the kids? So, I guess I need to know exactly where is this overwhelming opposition coming from and what is their motive? Because when I asked them why they're opposed, they're not opposed as long as it sticks in the AP classes. And they're teaching these in the AP classes. So I just wanted to, you know, someone who's in the trenches and looking over these, I wanted to make the statement, I think these are very balanced. And I think, too, with regards to the input question, Representative Greiling brought up that national experts were asked for. They were asked for, and they did respond, and the commissioner responded to them with over 70 changes in the third draft. All those changes were directly attributed to the comments of the national experts, including Eric Martel. So these are reflecting changes suggested by the national experts. There were also many, many, like over 70 comments, and this isn't just figures on the top of my head. I sat and I noted each of them, and I took down where the comment came from, where the criticism came from, so that I could go back to the voters and explain why we changed what we did. I think the commissioner's been very responsive in terms of responding to the national experts as well as the public in all of these drafts. So I just wanted to at least give you another side or another opinion to some of the comments being made.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Olson. I just wanted to clarify what curriculum is, because curriculum is not what we see before us. The standard is the broad general statement the teacher has to understand as he or she designs curriculum. The benchmark is specifically what we'll zero in as far as the standard is concerned, especially for testing purposes. But curriculum is the materials we use, it's the strategies we use, it's the goals we set, it's how we're going to monitor our students, it's how we're going to check for understanding, and ultimately it results in a lesson plan that we follow or adjust and try to follow as we try our best to teach to these standards. And I tell you, there are excellent teachers out there who will find this most satisfying to them, because finally we have in place a general, a specific, and a framework for which to develop curriculum.
Representative Sikora.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make you aware that I have to leave. I have to go to court this morning to testify on behalf of someone. So I must leave. I'm not allowed to change my mind. And so Representative Segrin is going to sit in for me. And if we, Ms. Bowie, would you just announce before the meeting breaks up where we will meet this afternoon, if we continue this into the afternoon?
Thank you, Representative Sikora. Welcome, Representative Segrin. Next, last on the list to the amendment, Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make some observations. I had five of my Egan High School social studies teachers who are very fine teachers, five of the best I've ever worked with. And I'm a math teacher saying that. I thought all the brains were in the math department. I found out that's definitely not true. And I had them come up to my office, and Chair Sikora sat with us, and we had a meeting, and they explained the standards, or their views of the standards. One of the teachers rewrites his curriculum every summer to keep them current with current events. And he said, for the first time I've ever seen something like this, finally standards make sense. I love them. They weren't so happy about the benchmarks. And Chair Sikora took voluminous notes and relayed what they said back to the commissioner. And a lot of their ideas coincide with other ideas that have been submitted and were incorporated. And I've since gone back. I've also got several parents emailing me, and I've got I'm always going out to the schools to ask them, what do you think now. And I sat in on two of the social studies classes just to listen, because it's just fun to hear about history anyway. And both of them were extremely informative. The kids were involved. They were time consuming, and both teachers told me once these benchmarks, if they become tested, what you just saw won't happen, because I won't have, there's so many benchmarks, I will not have time to cover them all, because I'll only be able to gloss over things and I won't be able to talk about them in depth that we just did. For that reason, I don't want to see a test happening on these benchmarks, not in the near future. For one thing, I think there's still some, in the benchmarks, there's some values and attitudes and beliefs in there that you can't measure those, therefore you can't test them. So if we ever do a test on this, you know, 4 years down the road when they're up for review, we'd have to rethink those benchmarks and make sure that we don't test values, attitudes, or beliefs. And I just so I can kind of relate with Representative Biernat's problem. But on the other hand, not Biernat, Dabney, I'm just kidding.
Minneapolis. Same color.
He's here. Well, Representative Biernat, tell him I said that, will you? Oh, there he is. Representative Dabney. And I do question, though, if we take Representative Dabney's approach and rewrite the whole thing, are we ever going to come to consensus? Are we going to end up nitpicking that document forever and ever and ever? I'm conflicted, I'll tell you the truth, but I just there's three social studies on this board that on this committee that say they can teach them. My teachers say, yeah, we can teach them, no problem, and we will because we'll follow the law. But I also know that a good teacher will include what he thinks has to be in there. And if they don't get through the standards or through the benchmarks, they're not going to, because they're not tested. They don't have to, really. And I'd like to take the benchmarks out, just have the standards and say these are guidelines to follow and they're great ones. But I'm just saying a word of caution. 4 years down the road, let's not test these. Yet my teachers think they should be tested. Otherwise, they're not worth it. I don't know if I agree with that or not. But I have reservations about going through this whole process again. I just don't know if it'll be just a different can of sausage that we're trying to make into good sausage. You know. I guess that's my
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Responding a little bit to some of Representative Wardlow's comments, to me, I think, you know, these can be covered. You know, a good social studies teacher will be able to cover these. I'll be able to do it. Whether I can be as riveting as I normally am and as interesting, I don't know. But that remains to be seen, I guess, in doing this. But I think it's important for us to remember, again, as Representative Wardlow was intimating, that there is no test. There's no test scheduled on this yet. And we do have 4 years to revise and review, and I think that's going to be a very important point, important thing to do, because you know, we'll find more errors, we'll find more mistakes, and we'll find things that can't be done well, or things that are done very well in this as we go through them. And those changes are going to have to be made 4 years from now.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll try my darndest to be brief. Representative Seifert has offered several times that we just open the document and we start coming forward with amendments. With no disrespect to the committee, I think that might be the worst way to write social studies standards, is to leave it to a group of politicians, no matter how well-meaning, thoughtful, and obviously intelligent this crowd is. And that really fundamentally is my problem with the process and the product with the development of these social studies standards, is that they were made not with educational goals in mind, but with political goals in mind. The Pawlenty administration and this commissioner have been trying to make education policy in the rearview mirror. As long as it's not the profile of learning, it's good. And that's simply not the case. I think we can come to some consensus on what should be taught in Minnesota classrooms if we keep educational goals in mind, not political goals. It's been done elsewhere. It's been done in states. It's been done nationally. The teachers of the state are already telling us, the social studies teachers of the state are already telling us that the process was flawed and that the product is unacceptable. The parents of the state, here's 1,000 signatures from parents and teachers across the state from one online petition, are telling us that the process and the product are not up to Minnesota standards and that we should redo these, house them in some organization outside the department where the goals are educational in nature and where we can have high-quality, rigorous standards that don't violate the law, as Representative Wardlaw has indicated, by putting attitudes, values, and beliefs into our standards, but instead instill a strong sense of social studies knowledge, pride, and understanding of our country's history. We did not do that with this round of standards development. Let's give Minnesota students the opportunity for the best quality education by coming forward with a new set of standards with educational goals in mind by adopting the A14 amendment. Again, members, I would ask for your support.
Roll call vote being requested on the motion to adopt the A14 amendment to House File 2558. Seeing no further discussion, The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Sikora? Representative Olson M?
No.
Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Burnett?
Yes.
Burrell?
No.
Biskins?
No.
Dabney?
Yes.
Demmer?
No.
Eastland?
No.
Eakin?
Yes.
Erickson?
No.
Greiling?
Aye.
Heigerkin?
No.
Yaros?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Klinzing?
No.
Krinke?
No.
Latz?
Aye.
Mariani?
Aye.
Meslow? Nelson?
No.
Newman?
No.
Olson S?
No.
Pulowski?
Aye.
Segrin?
No.
Seifert?
No.
Slawick?
Yes.
Erdahl?
Yes.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Zellers?
No.
There being 13 ayes and 17 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Seeing no further, there's no further amendments at the desk. Representative Nelson, to the bill as amended.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I have a small oral amendment on page 10, and it's regarding the grade level designation. And I would ask, yes, of the standards, the social studies standards, page 10, at the top of the page, dealing with grade level designation, after the second period, before the second period, insert or grade 8. This will provide our schools with the flexibility that they need to implement the standards. It helps with curriculum alignment. This was necessary as we originally had grades 6 through 8 banded together. And then because of some districts teaching Minnesota history at grade 4, we changed the banding to 4-6. And some unintended consequences then in curriculum alignment would follow for the middle schools in grades 6 through 8. I've visited with Commissioner Yecky about this, and Assistant Commissioner Nelson, Chair Sikora, Representative Segrin, and I would ask for your support on this. And also, you will notice the same would apply on page 18. Again, grade level designation at the top of page 18. Before the second period, insert or grade 8.
Members, for procedure's sake, I'm going to call on Lisa Larson with House Research to identify some language that needs to be incorporated to make this proper amendment.
Mr. Chairman, members, may I suggest that essentially we incorporate the same language that we used for the for Representative Mariani's amendment that we adopted. If you look at the that document, which was H2558A9, you'll see that we have some what I think of as boilerplate language on page 1, lines 2 through 10, and I would recommend that we incorporate that as part of Representative Nelson's oral amendment.
Representative,
yes, I accept that.
Okay, Representative Nelson incorporates said language. Representative Nelson, would you, I think a lot of members were looking for the document. Could you just restate the actual change in the draft 3? Language.
Yes, okay, we are on the History and Social Studies Standards, page 10, the top of the page where it talks about grade level designation, the italicized print. Before the second period, insert the words or grade 8.
Does everyone understand the amendment? Any questions?
Mm-hmm. You would do the same on page 18.
Page 10 and page 18.
Yes.
Any questions? Seeing none, Representative Nelson moves her amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. To the bill. Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee. I'm looking at page 50. I'm looking at the examples. I'm going down to 5, where there are a list of names and terms. One has caught my attention, Robespierre. And then I'm going to the benchmark, where it says that students will analyze the causes, conditions, and consequences of the French Revolution. And my observation is dealing with that historic event and this document. Robespierre chaired a committee during the French Revolution called the Committee of Public Safety. It was meant to keep the revolution pure, and his tool was the guillotine. If you disagreed with Robespierre, he cut off your head. He also had a motto for his
committee. Excuse me, Representative Pawlowski?
This is on the bill, and it's also on
notice,
the content.
I just want you to know I won't do that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm hoping you won't when I'm done, but there may be some who will. His motto was, virtue without terror is meaningless. And there are those who would argue there is great virtue in this. There is a certain level of consistency that we need for whatever reasons you want to give to compare other schools and other districts and other states. Even the legislative auditors called this into question by saying that the department should issue a report on whether or not there is validity in this. And our tool is not the guillotine. We are going to cut students and schools off with tests, which have already been discussed here, tests that are yet to be implemented. So when we vote on this document, we are voting on a document that some will argue has virtue, but will use a new tool of terror, testing. Testing so that students will be cut off. Schools will be cut off. Districts will be cut off. I caution members when we do vote on this. And I caution by using the document itself. If you study history, this has happened before. Let's not let it happen again.
Representative Slavik.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Segrin, and to the committee. You know, I'm not a teacher, and I didn't come on this committee as a teacher. I don't have a background, except that I'm a parent. And looking at these standards, it's going to be really tough for our kids. And we know between this and Leave No Child Behind, we're setting our kids up, is my concern. Now, I'm going to definitely be voting no for this bill. For 4 reasons. 1 is the cost, 2 is the coverage, 3 is the content, 4 is the curriculum. And also, because I have a teacher of the year sitting in the crowd out there watching this from my school district, who I asked for her comments on this before this hearing today. And if a teacher of the year, former teacher of the year in Minnesota, Ellen Delaney, who, I don't know if you want to raise your hand, says that there's problems with it, I believe her. And that's enough for me. She's been through the process. She's been on the committee. She's pointed out specific problems with this. From everything that this is a total redesign of what we're doing in Minnesota's approach to social studies at the elementary level, to that it's unrealistic for teachers to teach this, to the proposed standard zigzag from grade to grade and topic to topic. I think we can do better. I think we want the best for our kids. I don't think that this does that. I don't think this is the best for our teachers. And you look at all the things that we're doing at our schools right now, and this is not the best we can do. Thank you.
One question. Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, I just want, my friend from Winona brought up a wonderful historic analogy, and I just wanted to ask the department, are we planning to test the social study standards?
Commissioner? Nelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, no, there is no plan to test social studies. The direction of the legislature was not to plan for an assessment in the profile repeal bill. There is no plan to do so.
Thank you.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, so You are going to say that we are never going to test these. Are you going to testify to that today? That we are never going to test these. You said you're not planning to. Does that mean never?
Commissioner Nelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, I work for the state. I work for the department. We have no rulemaking authority. Our job is to implement the mandates of the legislature. I'm reading from the profile repeal bill, subdivision 1A in section 8. The commissioner must not develop statewide assessments for academic standards in social studies and the arts.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, the commissioner has asked for rulemaking in already several pieces of legislation. We've stripped it out. I wonder if the commissioner had broad rulemaking that you would sit here and testify that it would never happen. And I would caution members, anyone who testifies in this committee that it would never happen, we always come back next year and find out that it has. So to say never, I'd be very, very cautious. I imagine Robespierre said the same thing. I'm never going to use the guillotine. Yeah.
Whoops. I disagree. Other comments to the bill as amended? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I'd like to request a roll call vote.
Roll call being requested. There'll be a roll call vote.
We've had a lively discussion here this morning, but I do want to focus on 2 points. And members of the Minority Caucus came forward with what I consider 2 very important amendments. We've heard from the school districts that there are costs that they're going to incur. There's a debate as to whether or not those costs will be covered by the federal funds. We did come forward with, I think, a fair amendment that if there were costs, and we turned that over to the Commissioner of Finance under that proposal, but if there were costs, that they would be then addressed by the state to help the school districts. You even heard some numbers from a couple of the school districts, and the fiscal note is yet to come. But on that point, we unfortunately rejected the LATS amendment. Representative Dabney came forward with an amendment dealing with the social studies. Unfortunately, that was rejected. We don't need to act on the social studies standards at this point in time. That's something for the future. I know that there were comments by one of the committee members that said, well, this is something that we can fix in the future. And Mr. Chairman, I was chair of this committee for a number of years, and the profiles were hotly debated, and I was one at the time who advocated. I had a special subcommittee at one point. We had hearings in the full committee, kind of going back to that whole question about what kinds of discussions there were. But we could never find the middle ground. It became so politicized, we were never able to really fix the profiles to resolve the problem. And I think we would be far better off if we waited on the social studies standards and had standards that were brought before us that we could all endorse. I agree with the comment that was made earlier that this is the last place where you'd probably want to put together the social studies standards. That should be done by the experts, but I don't think they're quite where we need them to be as a state right now. And I think we have to be cognizant of the impact of the decision here today and as this bill moves forward, if the majority chooses to move it forward. The impact that it's going to have on the children in the classrooms, the impact it's going to have on the teaching staff. And so I would encourage a no vote, Mr. Chairman, at this time.
Seeing no further discussion to House File 2558 and the Sikora motion, Representative Segrin renews the Sikora motion that House File 2558 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to Government Operations. Any further discussion? Roll call being requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Sikora? Representative Olson M?
No.
Carlson?
No.
Anderson?
Yes.
Bernardi?
No.
Burnett?
No.
Burrell?
Yes.
Biskind?
Yes.
Dabney?
No.
Demmer?
Yes.
Eastland?
Yes.
Eakin?
No.
Erickson?
Yes.
Greiling?
No.
Heikergen?
Yes.
Yaros?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Klinzing?
Yes.
Krinke?
Yes.
Latt?
No.
Mariani?
No.
Meslow? Nelson?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Olson S?
Yes.
Pulowski?
No.
Segrin?
Yes.
Seifert?
Yes.
Slawik?
No.
Erdahl?
Yes.
Wardlow?
Yes.
Zellers?
Yes.
There being 18 ayes and 12 nays, the Segrin motion prevails. The bill is passed and will be re-referred to government operations. We have... Oh. Anybody read the minutes?
Yes, I have. So moved.
Representative Zeller moves the minutes. All those in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed... The motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. No other. We don't need to meet tonight, so there's no other announcement. The committee is adjourned.